This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hi, this is Johnny Gould. This is the latest on Iran's war on Israel. All of the sound bites from world-class voices are compiled from interviews right here in episodes of Johnny Gould's Jewish State podcast. Subscribe and follow now and scroll down for previous episodes wherever you get your podcasts. The headlines: Israeli troops enter Rafah and take control of the crossing into Egypt. But does this mean the gloves are off and negotiations are finished? Hamas launched an attack on an IDF staging post adjacent to the Kerem Shalom aid crossing, killing 4 IDF soldiers and wounding 10. A Hezbollah attack in northern Israel kills another 2 Israeli soldiers. The IDF's chief of staff warns that Israel is preparing for an offensive in the north as Hezbollah attacks persist. Qatar could expel the Hamas leaders it's hosting in its 7-star luxury lairs. As Israel prepares for the International Criminal Court to issue arrest warrants for military and political leaders on suspicion of war crimes. Israeli troops have entered Rafah, taking control of the crossing into Egypt. This appears to be stage one of Israel's long-anticipated operation to finish off the remaining Hamas battalions. It's prompted a flurry of diplomatic activity, including a vote in the UN General Assembly that would grant Palestinians UN membership rights akin to those of a full member state. Itamar Marcus of Palestinian Media Watch says this is rewarding Palestinian terrorism on October the 7th with statehood.
Giving them a state where they can then fly in armaments that they want, fly in chemical weapons that they want, fly in things from Iran. I mean, you're guaranteeing not just thousands, like we just had now, over 1,000 dead Israelis, but you're guaranteeing war for another generation or two, and you're guaranteeing that Israel's going to have to, what we did in Gaza will end up having to do throughout all the cities of the West Bank.
And the start of the Rafah campaign includes the usual chorus of fierce international criticism. But Israel's view of what the world thinks of it has hardened since October the 7th. Founder co-creator Avi Issacharoff quoted, "Gone with the wind to me," to illustrate exactly what that means.
Honestly, Johnny, you know, just like in the movie Gone with the Wind, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. After the killing of so many Israelis, the slaughtering of whole families, the raping of so many women, I really don't give a damn anymore about what do people in the world have to say about criticizing us here and criticizing us there. We need to win the war in Gaza in order to make sure that another October 7th will not occur ever.
Washington was aware of a new ceasefire and prisoner and hostage swap proposal presented to Hamas by Arab mediators, but failed to tell Israel about it. Israel is intensely disappointed with the U.S. administration, and suspicion is arising regarding its role as a mediator moving forward. Jerusalem was caught by complete surprise when Hamas suddenly announced its acceptance of a ceasefire proposal from Egypt and Qatar. Israel wasn't made aware of that document, nor did it see its contents until after Hamas made its announcement through the media. The new offer was apparently presented to Hamas by Egyptian officials during those talks in Cairo, but it was substantially different to what was originally proposed by Israel, Egypt, Qatar, and the United States. Hamas's faux acceptance of altered terms creates the impression that they'd okayed an offer which Israel had already signed off on. But having reviewed the document, Israel said it didn't meet its key requirements, and that it was moving forward with its planned Rafah operation, But despite this, it will continue to engage with the mediators. Israel views it all as a ruse by Hamas to paint itself as willing to reach a deal and Israel as obstinate. American media reports that CIA Director William J. Burns is in Doha for further talks. But Jason Greenblatt, who co-authored the Peace to Prosperity Plan for the Palestinians and Israelis as part of the Trump administration, has this warning for Antony Blinken, the US Secretary of State. He says, "Stop considering Iran and its proxies through a Western paradigm. They don't think like we do."
Part of the Biden administration's problem is that they see this regime as if this regime thinks like us, like Americans, like Europeans, like the United Kingdom. They don't. They want to rule over these people. They, frankly, besides wanting to destroy Israel and probably destroy America, they want to take over the Middle East. They probably want nothing more than to be, you know, enjoying Dubai, these beautiful gleaming glass towers in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Doha, and elsewhere. And people don't understand that. This is not the Iranian people issue. It's the Iranian theocracy, the regime, the murderous ideology.
The same afternoon as Hamas's faux acceptance, they launched an attack on an IDF staging post about 2.2 miles from the Kerem Shalom aid crossing. It killed four IDF soldiers, wounded 10, prompting the crossing's closure by Israel. And they were fired from a site just 350 meters from a civilian shelter. And the IDF said they called those launches another clear example of the terrorist organization's systematic exploitation of humanitarian facilities and spaces and their continued use of the Gazan civilian population as human shields. And it coincided with a Hezbollah attack in northern Israel that killed two more Israeli soldiers. Following Hamas's week-long refusal to respond to Israel's ceasefire proposal, Israel began the evacuation of approximately 100,000 Palestinian civilians from parts of Rafah. Israel was widely reported to have rejected these terms, which is said to have reduced the number of weekly hostages to be released from 7 to 3, including dead rather than living hostages, and introduced the condition that Israel permanently ends its operation against Hamas in Gaza. This is the Iran-Israel news update, and coming up in a moment, who is pressuring Qatar to kick out Hamas's leadership from their 7-star billionaire lifestyle? Plus, as Israel promises an incursion into Lebanon to push back Hezbollah, could the US be about to negotiate a deal with them in the nick of time?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Qatar is anticipating a request from the US that it expels the Hamas leaders it's currently hosting and is open to doing so. Hamas's gaming of hostage release and ceasefire deals is understood to have undermined the group's relationships with Doha, who've acted as the primary intermediary and broker for indirect negotiations with Israel. In the event of their expulsion from Doha, Hamas's leadership would most likely relocate to Turkey, given President Erdogan's long-standing support for the terrorist group. Israel has reopened the Erez crossing to the immediate north of the Gaza Strip, which has been closed since October the 7th, when it was attacked by Hamas. And while traditionally used to facilitate the ingress and egress of people into Gaza, it's now been repurposed to allow aid into the coastal enclave. A convoy of Jordanian trucks has already entered the Gaza Strip through Erez, and its contents were reportedly briefly seized and held by Hamas, according to the US. Israel hopes to facilitate the daily entry of some 500 trucks of aid into the coastal enclave, and reopening the Erez crossing will support them in achieving this goal. And while visiting Israel, the US Secretary of State Antony Blinken acknowledged that progress had been made on improving humanitarian aid, but said it needed to be accelerated. Israel is continuing its preparations for the International Criminal Court to issue arrest warrants for senior political and military leaders, including the Prime Minister, the Defense Minister, and the IDF Chief of Staff. Prime Minister Netanyahu said in our last Iran-Israel bulletin that the issuing of arrest warrants would be an anti-Semitic hate crime and a distortion of justice. And although the ICC has neither confirmed nor denied that it intends to issue arrest warrants, its prosecutor's office has appealed for an end to what it calls intimidation of its staff, saying such threats could constitute an offence against the administration of justice by the world's permanent war crimes court. The IDF's chief of staff has warned that Israel is preparing for an offensive in the north as Hezbollah's cross-border attacks continue with little prospect of abatement. Israel views its current paradigm of 80,000 citizens being internally displaced due to Hezbollah's aggression as untenable and intolerable, and the longer they remain unable to safely return to their homes in the north, the higher the risk of a military escalation in southern Lebanon. Earlier this year, it was reported that Israel had set the 15th of March as a deadline for Hezbollah to withdraw its forces to the north of the Litani River, and failing that, it would launch military action in southern Lebanon. And while no date for a military escalation has been specified, it is most likely to take place once an assault on Rafah has been concluded. But can Israel deal with a multi-front war? This is from Professor Chuck Freilich, Israel's former Deputy National Security Advisor.
The IDF, the intelligence community, have been warning of the dangers of a multi-front war and saying that that's precisely Iran's strategy. They want to drag us into that. And they may have succeeded. This wasn't an Iranian operation. This was Hamas acting as Hamas. But I would imagine that it'll turn out that there was considerable Iranian involvement in the planning, in training. And like I was saying, this can either escalate because they do it, or maybe this will be something that Israel will turn into an initiative of its own. It's a big war in any event. People have to expect something in any event that will go on for quite a while.
Israel and Hezbollah are reportedly nearing a U.S.-brokered deal to de-escalate tensions on the northern border. And if successful, it would see Hezbollah withdraw its forces to north of the Litani River, allowing internally displaced Israelis to return to their homes close to the Lebanese border. But it is understood to be contingent on Israel and Hamas also reaching an agreement, leading to a ceasefire there and release of hostages captured on October the 7th. In the absence of such an agreement being reached, then it's likely that hostilities will continue escalating, ultimately leading to a military operation there. And Yemen's Houthis have threatened to expand their attacks on merchant and naval shipping to the Mediterranean. While it was confirmed that this escalation would take place immediately, whether it actually poses a new threat is unclear, given Yemen's distance from the Mediterranean. It is unlikely that the Houthis will target shipping in the Mediterranean, and it is a realistic possibility that their attacks in and around the Red Sea will increase instead in the coming weeks. And that's the latest on the Iran-Israel war. Subscribe to Johnny Gould's Jewish State for exclusive interviews with leading voices from Israel and the diaspora. And to support my work, kindly think about making a donation to buymeacoffee.com/Johnny Gould or donorbox.org/JG Podcast. That's buymeacoffee.com/Johnny Gould or donorbox.org/JG Podcast. And you can share the podcast with your friends for regular news and interviews right here on Johnny Gould's Jewish State.